The Prophet Muhammad came with a religion that was to establish a certain number of things that were to protect society.
Right. Well, we're dealing with falsely attributing criminality to Islam.
Mm.
That's clearly the perception of the general public.
Yeah.
Are they right?
Categorically, no. The concept of crime and criminality, as far as Islam is concerned, is, of course, I mean, much less the same as the concept of crime in all of our societies. There is no text within the books of Islam, within the sources of Islam, that encourage crime or criminality in any way, shape, or form. In fact, if a person were to study the laws of Islam, the Sharia law of Islam, and were to study the various verses in the Book of Allah in the Quran, and were to study the what is known as the Sunnah or the prophetic traditions of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he would see that our position is in actuality a firm, strong deterrent against criminality in any society where the laws of Islam are established. And that is one of the reasons you oftentimes hear the mention of barbaric Islamic laws. Those who speak of barbaric Islamic laws speak of barbaric Islamic laws because they don't understand the greater intents of the Sharia. The Prophet Muhammad came with a religion that was to establish a certain number of things that were to protect society that we'll perhaps go on to mention throughout the interview. But from those things, if we mention generally, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, with that which he was given verses and he was given traditions that he conveyed to his followers, known as his ummah, that protect five main things. And these things are considered the main elements within any functional society that must be protected. And if they are transgressed against, then we're going to see dilapidation within our society from various angles. He came to protect that which is referred to as the deen, or the religion generally, that which is known as the intellect, or the aql, yani the intellect or the minds of the people, to protect the persons of the people against harm, to protect the wealth of the people, to protect the lineage of the people, their bloodlines, and to protect the honor of the people. And we see throughout the Islamic law, there are various forms of legislation that guard those most important elements.
You use protect about three times, and you talk legislation at lastly. Mm. What does that protection mean beyond or outside of the legislation within the realm of the religion?
Of the religion. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we have, in terms of the Islamic law, we have the element of Islamic law that is implemented by those who govern by law. Then there is an element of Islamic law that is implemented by those who consider themselves followers of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, who was nothing but an extension of that which the previous prophets and messengers that we read about in the Bible and that we know of, an extension of that same way, belief in one God, and then a disciplined a lifestyle that returns back to a person after having that connection with his creator and developing the fear of God, that he himself fulfills certain laws and disciplines that he will be questioned individually about. So we have, therefore, that which governs the society at large, and that which those who are the powers that be in any Islamic society would govern by. And then we have the individual governance that is based upon the relationship that a person has with his creator. So he stays away from certain things, partially because the society prohibits it, but also because he knows he's going to be questioned about it on a day of judgment.